You're back on the record.
Back with Fred and Mike. Are you with us?
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Fred. The board does not take any formal action on the matters discussed while we're in executive session. And back up on our agenda for today, that brings us to item number 7B, resolution G18-03, approving a sublease to the North Slope pad with Prudhoe Bay Chemical LLC. John?
Yeah, so item 7B, resolution number G18-03, would authorize a sublease of approximately one-third of the North Slope pad and the associated pipeline right-of-way for the installation and operation of the methanol production facility. Further required approvals from the Department of Natural Resources for the sublease are pending. At this time, I ask Jim Hemsath and his team to present.
Mr. Chair, I move to G18-03.
Your second?
Second.
Thank you. Welcome, Jim. The motion's on the floor. We're ready for discussion.
Chair and board, you've heard earlier testimony in public session about predictive sublease for Prudhoe Bay Chemicals. Staff has reviewed the project needs. We've created and developed a lease, which has been reviewed by Department of Law. It's also been reviewed by IGU. Comments have been adopted. The sublease itself is, as John mentioned, is for a third of the pad, or the North Slope pad, plus the pipeline right of way. The request is to DNR is to amend the lease, to change the lease from an LNG facility to a methanol facility using the same right of way that's there. As been discussed, that is still under discussion. The sublease itself is created so that is the DNR approval is conditional. If the DNR makes changes to the pad or requirements that is not acceptable to ADA, then the lease is not in effect. Value of moving ahead at this time is twofold. The first is it provides a certain amount of surety to Prudhoe Bay Chemical so they can move ahead on their next steps related to finalizing financing and working on their sales agreement, what they currently have in place with British Petroleum, or excuse me, it's not British Petroleum anymore, with BP to purchase the methanol from them. The second reason is to establish that action is being taken on the pad. Currently, we had to extend the lease in this pad. We had a one-year. We received a one-year extension of the lease last August for essentially the purpose of continued development with Prudhoe Bay Chemical as a sublease. DNR requires action on a lease, and if no action is taken in this case, when we established the lease, it was 3 years. If no action had been taken in that 3 years, the lease would have reverted to DNR. So we're in the middle of an extension. Proceeding with this lease prohibits that.
For the record, would you put the term on the table, for the record, what the term of the lease is?
Yes, Chair. The term of the lease is essentially it's a 30-year lease broken down to three 10-year leases with the first 10 years. There'll be the opportunity to extend the lease an additional 10 years. Upgrade, make any changes to pricing as necessary at that time.
Okay. And the amount, the acreage of the lease?
The acreage of the lease is, the acreage of the lease itself is 5.2 acres of the pad and approximately an acre or so of the right-of-way lease for the pipeline.
Okay. And the amount, the monthly lease was derived how?
The monthly lease was derived looking at our capital costs using premium gravel. In other words, if the gravel costs, if DNR come in and said we need to charge you $3 a yard versus 50 cents a yard, was based on that capitalized cost, amortized over 30 years at an 8% rate, and then one-third of that of the pad plus 100% of the right-of-way as part of that acreage.
Is the subleasee responsible for taxes?
Subleasee is responsible for taxes, maintenance of the pad itself, okay. As well as part of the building lease is the SBCO lease administration cost and the lease of the land itself in addition to the gravel. If the pad DNR through their surveys, that requires survey to reevaluate what's fair market value for a lease every 5 years, which the next one is due in a year, that increase or potentially decrease of that lease will be reflected in the amount that's charged for the Bay Chemical.
Okay. Thank you. If the leasee has to puts on a improvements and finances it, are we still in? Do we have to do any type of subordination or anything like that on any loans? In other words, if they lend, if someone borrow money,
to build the facility,
Property isn't used at all as collateral, and whoever finances it, how does that aid interact with the lending agency if they do finance?
I'd ask Jerry to speak to that specifically.
Unsubordinate. So,
okay.
They may have an assignment right to take over the tenant's spot, but they cannot take out Aiden.
I'm just trying to get this on the record. So. Right. Questions? Gary?
Sorry. I learned this morning that what methanol is on the slope, and it's now being brought up by truck. Is that correct? From somewhere?
Yes, it's imported into the state and brought up by truck.
Okay. So, with this new plant, somebody's putting it in to save money. So, is there a way, or is there an effect on the wellhead value coming to the state because of less cost of having methanol?
Yes, absolutely. This lowers the operating cost to the North Slope producers and provides, quite frankly, a less risky supply because it's local. 2 years ago, we had the flood that took out the haul road. That also impaired movements of methanol in the North Slope. So being produced on the slope in Alaska versus importing from elsewhere lowers the cost to the folks, which is why BP is interested in procuring the methanol.
So the answer is yes. Is there a way to calculate that increase in wellhead value?
I'm sure there is. I'm not sure that we can do it, but if that is important, we can find
the DNR.
Well, it has to back way into the operating cost of how BP would transfer their operating costs and what they're willing to share. Conceptually, it's a lower price of product. The product, the price of crude is the global market price. This will not affect the price of crude. What it affects is the margins that BP would and the ability for them to stay in business and lower prices. But as it is royalty product, the cost of that, the value of that royalty product goes up because the operating costs go down.
Yes.
From the state's perspective.
And that's my question. Is there a way to calculate that? Is there a range?
I can take a stab at it here.
Jerry, why don't you come on the record, please?
So, being a business, when they go to pay
Wilcox.
Well, when an oil company's paying taxes, they get to deduct their operating costs. Mm-hmm. So, looking at the North Slope methanol market and looking at the approximate difference in price that I would be offering versus what they're currently paying, you might see something around $5 to $6 million, aggregate savings. Mm-hmm. Relative to imported methanol. So that's now $5 or $6 million, which isn't deducted as operating cost.
That then gets added to the wellhead value for the people of Alaska?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm after.
All right, yes.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions from the board? Is the board ready for the question? Question. Fran, please pull the board.
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paraday.
Aye.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Barnhill.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Brings up item number C, the Interior Energy Project update.
Okay. Item 7C, update on the IEP. This time I ask Gene Terrio and his team to present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and for the board members. Information, the latest quarterly report was supplied to the legislature with the date of April 9th. So just to let you know that that was delivered. And then just ticking down through the normal list of items on gas supply. We, of course, are operating under the gas supply that we secured for the enterprise. Right now, we are aware that the IGU is in discussions with somebody else for gas supply beyond the term that we have already covered. We have made a request to get access to that information, be included in those discussions. That was passed on to the supplier, and at this time, the answer that's come back has been no. I think what we will do now is follow up with a letter saying that until that date that we are included in those discussions, we'll just share some of our concerns or some of the things that we would hope to see in a contract when one comes to public light and scrutiny. For the LNG plant, at this point, we've not advanced anything on advancing the LNG production. Again, we are aware that IGU has been talking to Siemens for some time. We have asked to be included in more of those discussions, and there was an indication from the Siemens representative in the IGU meeting a couple weeks back that they would be willing to share more information with IG, with ADA. And at this time, I know that IGU is actually advocating that Siemens put forth public information that can be so that we can do a comparison, they can do a comparison to expanded supply out of a Titan expansion, which, of course, was our base case for future LNG in the interior.
Gene, when does the decision have to be made on LNG expansion in order to meet anticipated demand for it?
Yeah, I'll ask Dan to jump in there.
So moving forward with the tank project did give us a little bit of reprieve on the LNG tank expansion, on the LNG production expansion at Titan. The tank expansion itself allows us to add about 400,000 MCF of sales. So that lets us, gives us a little breathing room. So I would say within the next couple of months, authorization to move forward with the feed on liquefaction expansion is necessary to kind of meet a timeline for steady growth after the storage tank is completed. The IGU board has suggested that they're supportive of the feed moving forward, and that's a pending task for me to accomplish, is to bring forward a feed proposal to potentially this board, depending on the timing of the sale, or to the IGU board alone. It could, depending on the timing of getting that work done, would be might require both boards' concurrence. So.
Well, ultimately, regardless of if the sale goes through, both boards still have to look at it.
The current plan includes expansion of Titan, so both boards would need to concur with the fact that stays the plan.
Yeah.
I guess whether or not specifically approval for feed funding at that time, because the overall project is approved as the project scope.
Gary?
If that feed happened before close, IGU would have to come to ADA, their banker, for the money to do that. They don't have the money to do that, do they?
They do not. The direction that they suggested is that I put together the feed budget and request approval from ADA, and ADA be prepared to concur.
Okay. So if pre-close, we'll have that bite at the apple for feed.
Yeah, it's really, to be honest, it's waiting on me. It's waiting on some work from out of our offices. We need to get budget updates on the feed engineering from an engineering firm, give them direction of scope, and there's been some questions on scope. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is the LNG storage, and I know Dan's got some slides, and I think a video clip for us to see.
Sure. Yeah, so glad to get an opportunity to give you another update on where we're at with the LNG storage project. I'll try and move this along fairly quickly, because I know you've got other commitments and have had a long day. So, you know, the contract was signed, backfilling's complete, the tank slab forms rebar complete. We poured the foundation for the tank on April 22nd. Beautiful day in Fairbanks. Couldn't have asked for a better day, and the tank looks extremely well. We've got our flat loop evaporators operating, which is keeping the ground frozen below the tank. There we go. So the pour for the foundation, the placement of the concrete was 1,800 cubic yards of concrete. In the forms was 90 tons of steel prior to the pour. We had about 50 personnel on site that day. That was the concrete work was completed by a Fairbanks contractor, Ready Concrete. We had three pumper trucks. All three plants in Fairbanks were operating to supply enough concrete for the pour. And the work was completed in a day. We started about 5 a.m. The concrete was in place by about 5 p.m., and then there was a few hours of finish work after that. So just a few pictures. This is where we started out. It's the flat loop system that runs up to the condensers and the excavation for the tank to the top of the picture. This is the concrete slab that was placed prior to the main pour. You can see right here, this is where all the anchor bolts, the 108 total anchor bolts that come from the bottom of the foundation up through the top. This outer wall right here is the frame or the form for the concrete. Here's the picture of the steel that was in the concrete. You can see how much is in place. These cables that you see that are coming up protrude out of the concrete, and those are seismic cables for restraints of the tank to keep it in place during a seismic event. This puts into perspective kind of some of the challenges. Those 108 bolts need to be in an exact perfect position with the 1/4-inch tolerance when the concrete is complete. So how we accomplished that was with the steel ring that was placed on top and two bolts that held every one of those bolts at its exact location and exact elevation. Here we are, 5 in the morning. Things are just getting started for the pour. And by the end of the day, this is the finished work of the pour. It's just taking place. You can see there, those are footsteps that they're working their way out, and then at the end they all come out at that one end of the pole.
Did you put your fingerprint in there?
I did not, although after much encouragement today, I look forward to doing it at some other point in the project. One of those was supposed
sometimes
to be
you
a little...
Sometimes you can't take the kid out of the
guy. Sorry, this is a little video. Drone video that kind of gives you a perspective of the plant. If you see all of these wooden racks that are on the outside, those were all in place to keep those cables in perfect position. Those cables needed to stay in perfect position during the pour. It couldn't have gone better. So, 100 degrees after about a few days. Yeah. Next phase of the work right now is actually primarily being completed in Anchorage. Anchorage Sand and Gravel is responsible for the precast panels. The panels are 88 feet long and about 8 feet wide. When complete, each panel has 36 5/8 inch cables pre-stressed to about 40,000 pounds. And each panel has 3,100 studs on it. So there's a metal form. 3,100 studs are welded on these panels. The cables are put through them, and then the pour happens.
That's got to be computerized studs. You don't have one guy doing them.
We have a couple guys doing those studs by hand, but with the stud welder. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The local shops that are completing the work is Anchorage Superior Welding and Machine. They're doing the machining of some of the plate. Greer's doing the, Greer Tank is doing the rolling of the plate. And then Weona is doing the welding and the preparation of the studs. We're at our production rate now, which is designed at one panel a day. And we're going to start shipping those panels beginning when weight restrictions come off in June. So you can see the studs lining down this panel. You've got your rebar reinforcement. The pink on the outside is the forms of the panel. What Alaska Sand and Gravel has a tented area, so they can do these pours regardless of weather conditions. So if it's raining, we can continue with production. Keep
about
production.
Wind?
Same thing with wind. So when it comes time to pouring the concrete, they pull the tent, and that way when they're finishing, they can make sure they don't have any wind issues. They also are using this tent to get the concrete strength within one night. So they have a steam conditioning unit in this tent. So they steam condition the concrete overnight to within 1 degree of its design temperature. And the next morning, the concrete's reached about 4,500 PSI of strength, and they can pull it from the form, set it, and start the next panels. This is just a pour. You can see these the red bars, and you can see a yellow bar here. The color code is to keep the inserts in the panels straight so that they can't make a mistake. They can only put the right insert in the right place. And then those are the screening forms. You can see the slight bend to the curve of the panel, and so 44 of the panels will create the outer wall. Again, just the final finish of the screening. There's four panels that are completed. You can see they're about 10 inches thick. Pre-stressing cables here, about 88 feet long, and they'll ship one panel per truck. They weigh about 90,000 pounds per panel. So our next steps is we're replacing the grounding loop around the tank because the forms are pulled. We're ready to start backfilling up to the final grade elevation. We'll continue to fabricate the outer walls, the inner walls. The materials are being fabricated outside. We've ordered our in-tank pumps already. We're out to quote on our vaporizers and compressors, and so we're well on our way for a number of those. And we're preparing with what would be our third submittal to the fire marshal, which would be for the tank roof. Let's see, and we have just a short...
I have to get to the video.
A little updated time-lapse. As you can see, we've had to deal with more snow than we were hoping to. It was a lot of work for the ground crews because every time it snowed, it had to be cleared before the next layer of gravel could be placed. And at one point, that work had to be done by hand when the ground loops were set. So they had to work hard. We brought a crane in before weight restrictions, so it was on site. And then the three pumper trucks are the day of the pour. We brought in a lot of that gravel already, so it's on site prior to weight restrictions, and so that we can continue on with the work while there's weight restrictions. Happy to answer any questions.
Schedule and budget, how are we doing?
Good. On schedule right now and on budget right now.
Good. Questions from the board to Dan or Dean?
And Mr. Chairman, just a couple last things. Just touch base with legislation in Juneau. The arm bill legislation is in Senate.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question for Dan when he said we're on schedule and on budget. Have we had to apply any of our contingency funds to the project, or when you say on schedule and on budget, it's within the budget sans contingency?
Right now, it's within the budget, sans contingency. We do have one issue related to steel tariffs that could take into some contingency. Part of the materials are currently on order from Belgium for our 9% nickel. We feel quite confident that we'll have an exemption ultimately because none of that material is made in any quantity in the U.S. any longer. So we don't think we'll have to use any contingency for that portion. So far we're within normal budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Dan, or Jim, I think.
HASBA 374, which is the arm bill, was supposed to be up in CNRA in about 5 minutes. I just got a text message that it delayed to tomorrow, not because there's problems with the bill. It's just the committee chairman is actually chairing the finance committee right now. So I think we're poised for that to move to the Senate Rules Committee. It's a House bill in the Senate, so it is poised for passage. All of the delegation members are also working together on getting the bond extension done. The two separate bills, unfortunately, are bottled up in the House Labor and Commerce Committee, and so the members of the delegation are working together to find an alternative way to get that across the finish line. They understand that all of the legislation, that's the key piece this year. And, Mr. Chairman, I think that's it.
Thank you, Jane. Appreciate the update. And Dan, any questions before we let them go? Okay. Thanks for coming down, and thanks for coming up. brings us to item number 8, director comments.
Thanks, Chair. Loan dashboard and reports, development project matrices, and project fact sheet updates are available for your review. Continuing education calendar, if board members are interested in attending a course, please contact Sherry Severson. And the next data board meeting is scheduled for Thursday, May 31st, 2018 at Ada's office.
Thank you. Board comments.
Mr. Chairman.
Gary.
I have two questions, both having to do with mines. The first one, Ambler Road keeps popping up in Fairbanks, popping up in front of me. So could we just get, I don't need a big PowerPoint, I don't need any of that. I just need 10 minutes about where we are on Ambler Road and what's ahead and just...
You want to send it to you or something sent to you?
No, next meeting.
Okay.
Maybe, no, just so we know where we are. We sort of get bits and pieces, and I don't have any answers. The other question...
So, Ambler Road update, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly. Not a big fancy thing.
Yeah, certainly.
The other thing has to do with Bochum. I see on our spreadsheet here. So, is that an active project in our efforts right now regarding that mine? And if so, who is, am I asking this on behalf of someone that called me? If that is the case, does Ada have a mine advisor, so to speak, somebody from the industry that knows, can look at this Bochum development and give us viability report? Is somebody helping us with voting, or are we doing anything with it?
Okay. Certainly through the chair. At this time, we continue to track the progress of UCOR, that is the proponent of this Bochum-Mara development project. And legislature authorized up to $145 million for supporting infrastructure to issue bonds for supporting infrastructure. At the appropriate time, we would certainly call upon one of our advisors to do an evaluation that would be part and parcel to a bond issue. So we do have advisors, but it's not at this time that we would consult them.
Are we spending any money on that item right there right now?
No, sir.
No. Okay. So, but if they're able to bring that to the next step, then we would take advantage of a consultant, so to speak, to
absolutely
help us analyze it. Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions for the board? Mike or Fred? Comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Fred. I would just thank the staff for their work, and in particular, I'm appreciative of... Am I okay?
Yes.
I'm appreciative of the work to sort out the remaining issues with the patent lease and look forward to moving that situation forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Mike?
I've got no comments. Thanks.
I'd like to thank all the board members for attending today, the staff, John's staff, and for those that traveled. Appreciate that. With that, I'll take the motion for adjournment.
So moved.
You're adjourned. After your two questions. First and second.